All right, ladies and gentlemen, you are locked on Falcons. I'm your host, Aaron Freeman. And today we're continuing our positional reviews of the Falcons 2021 season, looking at the running back group, talking about how Cordarrelle Patterson and Mike Davis played this past year and whether or not one or both of those players will be back in 2022.
You are locked on Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So guys, you know me, I'm Aaron Freeman, been covering the Falcons for many years, formerly at FalcFans.com, RIP, still going strong on Twitter at FalcFans, writing weekly content at The Falcoholic, the SB Nation website for the Atlanta Falcons, and of course, the host of this illustrious Locked On Falcons podcast, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, right here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And of course, today we're continuing our year-end positional reviews, talking about the Falcons running back position. We'll be talking about Cordarrelle Patterson and the season he just had, the excellent season he just had, Mike Davis and the disappointing season he just had, and what that means for the future of both of those players in Atlanta and what the Falcons will do at that running back position, particularly looking ahead to the draft. But before we get into all of that, guys, let me thank you for making Locked On Falcons your first listen each and every day. Of course, Locked On Falcons is free and available on a variety of podcast platforms, including Apple, Odyssey, Google, and Spotify. And of course, free and available as well on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe to the Locked On Falcons YouTube channel and give us a like when you do. So when we look back at the 2021 season at this running back position, it's interesting because if you just rewind the clock like 6 months and go back to sort of people's expectations, preseason expectations going into training camp and whatnot, you would have seen people very high on Mike Davis, very high on Javian Hawkins, undrafted free agent out of Louisville that people were sort of expecting to kind of be that potential backup change of pace runner to the more powerful Mike Davis, who people were hoping would be sort of a poor man's Derrick Henry. And then we saw Hawkins kind of not really do much in the summer. And instead it was another undrafted free agent like Caleb Huntley that impressed there. And people had very low expectations for Cordarrelle Patterson. Primarily was like, oh, he'll, you know, return kickoffs. He'll get maybe some opportunities on some like screens and stuff out of the backfield, maybe make a couple of plays here or there, but nothing too major. To the point that I think people were very concerned going into training camp and at the end of training camp, worried about the Falcons running back depth behind Mike Davis. And, you know, Kwadri Olison performed well enough to, you know, take that RB3 spot to the point that when he was cut at the end of the summer and replaced by Wayne Gallman, people were upset that the Falcons cut Olison. But, you know, they thought, OK, Wayne Gallman maybe could be that number two guy. He was very productive as an injury replacement for Saquon Barkley in 2020 in New York. So maybe he can be that RB2, you know, instead of Patterson or whatever the case may be. And then you sort of saw Mike Davis have that rocky start once we got into September, and he was getting the bulk of the carries over Cordarrelle Patterson, but Patterson was also in the mix. It was about a 2-to-1 carry ratio between those two. But Patterson really balled out over that first month of the season, and basically the scales kind of flipped. And you saw after that point, starting basically in week 5 and on, Patterson was the one getting the bulk of the carries and basically a 2-to-1 split in his favor for the remainder of the season. And, you know, Patterson's playing well, particularly as a pass catcher, but then has that injury in that Dallas game in week 10. But he's able to power through it the next couple of weeks. He's able to really have strong performances in weeks 12, 13, and 14, starting with that Jacksonville game in week 12. And that's really the basically that 3-game stretch is when the Falcons running game looks great. Meanwhile, Mike Davis is kind of, you know, in the background doing some stuff. You know, I think probably by the time we got to that point in the season, Falcon fans had firmly turned against Mike Davis. And it's funny to me because it seems like going back several years, whoever is the starting running back at the beginning of the season, Falcon fans turned on that player pretty quickly, whether we're going all the way back to like Steven Jackson, back in like 2014, and people were like clamoring, oh, we got to get Devontae more carries. And then you had Devontae when he was a starter, and people were like, we got to get Tevin Coleman more involved. And of course, going back last year with Todd Gurley and whatnot, it seems like you have to go all the way back a decade ago to like Michael Turner at his peak, and then maybe just the 2015 season when Devontae was sort of doing things where you got a universally beloved Falcons starting running back. And I just find that pattern interesting. I'm very curious to see if we see that again happen in 2022. But, you know, Davis sort of had an up and down sort of season. And fortunately, Patterson was able to sort of pick up the slack and be that lead guy. But then over the last month of the season, last four or five games, it seemed like that ankle injury was really sort of catching up to Cordero Patterson. And you saw Mike Davis kind of step up and play well down the stretch. Unfortunately, as promising as his play was over the last month, it's kind of marred by the two fumbles he had in the season finale. And that's a weird thing about Mike Davis's 2021 season, because he's been very good with ball security throughout his NFL career. Prior to this season, he had, I think, two fumbles in 6 years. And this year he had like four fumbles this year. But, you know, the positive that you would say about Mike Davis is he did a really good job getting yards after contact. But didn't necessarily show the explosiveness and the burst and the decisiveness that you may want in this outside zone scheme. It seemed like Patterson had a little bit more of that juice in the scheme, and that's why he was more effective. And, of course, we know Patterson was really effective as a pass-catching running back, more so than his running abilities. He earned Pro Football Focus's second highest grade as a receiver among running backs, only behind Christian McCaffrey. He was second behind C-Mac in terms of yards per route run, which is PFF's sort of receiving efficiency metric. And his yards per route run at 2.23 was one of the higher figures that we've seen from any running backs in the league over the last decade or so, in the top 10 of that position group. So it goes to show you how effective as a pass catcher, you know, Patterson was. And it wasn't just simply catching the football out of backfield. We know that Patterson would line up in the slot. Occasionally he would line up in line as a tight end. He would line up split out wide. And, you know, 5 years ago, I think it was, when David Johnson, when he was with the Arizona Cardinals, was basically being asked to line up in the slot and split out wide to create mismatches there as a pass catcher, given his skill set. People were like enamored with that. And he was spending like maybe like 28 to 30% of his snaps in that sort of wide receiver role. And then you saw Patterson this past year basically spending half of his snaps in that wide receiver role. So he even took it to another level. So, you know, I think, you know, we talked a little bit about why Patterson had his sort of breakout season this year on a previous episode. You can go back and listen to the January 11th episode of the podcast to get sort of my specifics thoughts on why Patterson was so effective this year. We're not going to necessarily rehash that on today's episode, but we will sort of get into, you know, the fact that Patterson had a breakout year means, you know, now that he's an impending free agent, means that he might break out with a little bit more money. And we'll sort of have to see if and when the Falcons can re-sign him and retain him. And that's going to, of course, be easier said than done. And that's the thing that we're going to continue to talk about further on today's Locked On Falcons. But before we get there, guys, I know many of you are, you know, probably listening to me on your commutes to or from work or whatever the case may be. And if you're living in the Atlanta metro area, you often find yourself dealing with a ton of traffic, and that can be, you know, burning a hole in your pocket, because how many times you got to fill up at the gas tank. And of course, you can get cash back and save a little money every time you fill up with a new app called Get Upside. With Get Upside, you get 25 cents back per gallon every time you fill up. There's no catch to it. And there's even a bonus for you that if you use the promo code Touchdown, you get a bonus 25 cents on top of that on your first fill up. So up to 50 cents back per gallon. And over time, those types of savings can really start to add up. You know, people making hundreds of dollars each and every month, and you can get those payouts immediately into your bank account. You can get them in PayPal. You can get them on gift cards or whatever the case may be. I like getting them on Amazon gift cards and whatnot. And so now you don't have to pay full price at the pump anymore. You can just download the free Get Upside app, available in the App Store or on Google Play. And of course, make sure you use that promo code Touchdown when you sign up. That's Get Upside, promo code Touchdown, to start saving every time you fill up. So last week, guys, I told you about my three-team parlay that did hit. I had picked the Bucks, the Rams, and the Bills in last week's wild card round. And this week I got another three-team parlay. I'm feeling good about the Packers, -5.5. The Rams as a road underdog, +3. And the Bills as a 1.5-point underdog on the road against the Chiefs. And, you know, I'm kind of iffy on the Titans versus the Bengals. The Titans are favored by 3.5 points, but I'm probably going to wind up putting money in that, but it's not going to be part of my three team parlay. But of course, you know, to take advantage of this three team parlay, I go to Bet Online, and you guys can too. Bet Online is the number one spot for all your sports wagering action. It was for me in 2021. It can be for you in 2022 by going to betonline.ag. And when you sign up, use the promo code Locked On. You'll get a 50% welcome bonus. So that means if you deposit $200, you get $100 on your first deposit in free money to play with. And you can use that to bet on football, basketball, hockey, boxing, UFC, all the way to your favorite Vegas casino games. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. So let's talk a little bit about the impending offseason at this running back position. It wasn't a great year for the Falcons running backs outside of sort of Patterson's sort of breakout year. But because of that breakout year, he's potentially going into the offseason as someone who was kind of an afterthought last offseason. The Falcons were able to get him, I guess you could probably call it the third or fourth wave of free agency in like mid-April last year, to one of the guys that's going to be one of the bigger names on the market. And that's going to make it difficult for the Falcons to retain him. You know, I feel generally optimistic that the Falcons will retain him. I think all indications sound like he wants to stay in Atlanta, and I'm betting the feeling is very mutual for the Falcons, given the year that he's had. But, you know, the question is going to be, now that he's coming off such a good year, does that raise the price tag? And you wonder about that, given that, you know, Patterson's not a young guy anymore. He's going to be 31 this upcoming season. You're seeing some of the estimations for what his value is going to be on the open market, ranging from as low to $5.75 million a year, according to overthecap.com. Pro Football Focus has him at $6 million a year. You even got SpoTrack at $9 million a year. So somewhere seemingly in that $6 to $9 million range based off of these websites. And I'm sure everybody, including myself, has an opinion on what the Falcons should pay Cordero Patterson. Personally, you know, I would not feel great about going over $5 million a year. So actually under those valuations, but I certainly wouldn't complain if it was, you know, $6 million or over. But, you know, anything over that feels like maybe you're paying a little bit more of a premium and you're kind of pushing it, because I'm not necessarily convinced that Patterson is going to have a repeat of his 2021 season. If you're just putting a price tag on how he played this past year, yeah, I think that's worth more than $6 million. But I do think, he's a player that may be due to regression. I certainly think he's capable of having another good season, but I don't know if it's going to be as good as his 2021 season. Because one of the things I did was look up, you know, several running backs over the last, 20 or so years that had their first 1,000-yard season from scrimmage, and Patterson had over 1,100 yards this past season from scrimmage when you count rushing and receiving yards, you know. But looking at the guys that had that at the age of 30, that was the first time they ever eclipsed that mark. And obviously, I'm sure you could guess, there weren't that many guys that made that list, because generally speaking, you know, running back is a young man's position. Guys tend to peak between the ages of like 23 and 27. So you're not necessarily getting a lot of guys that are peaking late in their careers, particularly at the age of 30, and getting those opportunities. But the one player that did sort of stand out on that list was Lamar Smith. He might be somebody that you guys may remember. He was a journeyman running back in the late 90s and early 2000s with teams like the Saints, the Seahawks, and the Dolphins. And Smith did it primarily running the football. You know, back in the day, teams weren't throwing it that much to their running backs. If you looked at his first 5 years in the NFL, he was averaging roughly about 500 yards from scrimmage each and every year, primarily as a backup in the league. And you saw similar production from Cordero Patterson over his, first 6 or 7 or maybe, 8 years in the NFL, where he was averaging about 400. And most of those were coming as a pass catcher, as a pure wide receiver. But then in that 2000 season, going back to Lamar Smith, when he was with the Dolphins, he rushed for over 1,100 yards, had 14 touchdowns. And then there was a little bit of a drop off the following year, had less than 1,000 yards, only 6 touchdowns. His yards per carry went from 3.7 in 2000 to 3.1. His yards per touch went from 3.9 to 3.5. And then he also had twice as many fumbles in his follow-up year, going from 3 fumbles to 6 fumbles, basically with the same workload in both years. And then you use a sort of a non-running back example of a player that had a breakout season at age 30 that's more familiar to Falcon fans, and that's Jack Crawford a couple of years ago in that breakout 2018 season. The defensive lineman at the age of 30 had 6 sacks and 32 pressures, both career highs for him, and then kind of fell back down to earth at the age of 31 the following year with, you know, half a sack and 14 pressures. Now, does all that mean that, you know, Cordarrelle Patterson is destined to fall off, that it's a guarantee? No, none of that. It's just, I would just sit here and say that I don't think anybody should be surprised if Cordarrelle Patterson doesn't have exactly a repeat of next year and regresses a little bit. But again, you know, what that regression looks like, I still kind of expect them to probably, in terms of looking at yards from scrimmage, probably fall in that like 700 to 900 range or something like that. You know, I think the issue you're going to have to deal with is that you're probably not expecting him to have quite the same year, and you probably should pay him accordingly. You know, I certainly think he deserves a raise from the $3 million that he's making, you know, but when you look at the, you know, what top RB2s are making on the open market, it, you know, the top end is like about $6 million. And I feel like you shouldn't be paying Cordarrelle Patterson, particularly at his age, given that most of those guys that are making $6 million are like 26 or 27 and Patterson being 31, I feel like you should get a little bit of a discount there. And so you should be able to get him for under $6 million. So we'll just sort of see how that goes. But, you know, when we look at Mike Davis, the Falcons' other running back, his future seems to kind of be linked to whether or not the Falcons can retain Cordarrelle Patterson, as well as what the team's impending draft plans are going to be. Davis is under contract for 2022. His cap hit this upcoming season is $3.25 million, but the Falcons could save $2.5 million of that by cutting him in March. And, you know, that type of cap savings would be tempting for this team. But you got to think that his status is kind of tied to whether or not they can re-sign Cordarrelle Patterson before free agency kicks off. If we're looking at a situation where Patterson and the Falcons can get a deal done in that sort of legal tampering period in the days leading up to free agency, then I think in those circumstances, you could see the Falcons cutting Davis, you know, at the start of the league year to get those cap savings and then use them to potentially go sign other players. But if the Falcons can't get a deal done with Patterson and he does hit the open market, it's hard for me to see the Falcons cutting Davis outright, simply because that would leave you, you know, with the risk of Patterson walking in the open market. And essentially the argument I would make, at least today, is that if Patterson does get to make it to the market, the chances are low that he will be retained. You know, if that was the case and the Falcons cut Davis and let Patterson hit the market, they might be stuck in a situation where it's just Quadri Olesen and Caleb Huntley as the top two running backs on their depth chart. And no offense to those guys, but I don't think that's probably a sound strategy to be in that situation at the start of free agency. So I think the other thing that you could see the Falcons doing with Mike Davis is approaching him to take a pay cut. Maybe you could slash his $2.5 million base salary in half, or roughly in half, and you would save yourselves, you know, a million or more type of money and give Davis another shot here in Atlanta. And, you know, usually you don't necessarily expect players to take pay cuts if they don't have to. But I could imagine a scenario where Mike Davis would be open to it. If you were to take $1 million off of his base salary, he would still have the same exact cap hit that he had this past year. And then you could potentially structure it where he can make that money back in incentives if he hit certain benchmarks. And again, I think he'd be open to it. You know, he'll be 29 next month, so it's not as if there's going to be a huge payday waiting for him, you know, on the open market in all likelihood, given that running backs over the age of 27, 28 typically don't make a ton of money. He's a local guy, so I imagine he'd want to stay in Atlanta. And then you think about, you know, he's the Walter Payton Man of the Year award honoree. And, you know, it's not always a good look to cut the guy that, you know, you sort of say is your biggest contributor in the community or whatever the case may be. So, you know, I think even if he was making like $1.5 million this year with that pay cut instead of the 2.5 that he would make with his base salary, that's still, you know, $1.5 million is still more than what he has made for most years in his NFL career. So it's not as if, like, you know, he's going to be paying for pennies relative to what he's, you know, got grown accustomed to playing for throughout his career. So that would kind of be my plan to see if, you know, we can keep Mike Davis and not necessarily put all your eggs in the Cordero Patterson is going to come back and play at a high level, and or, you know, potentially having a rookie come in here and step in and be productive right away and still have, you know, Mike Davis as sort of an insurance policy in the event of those two outcomes not necessarily happening. So, you know, I think, you know, the Falcons bringing in a rookie is certainly something that's definitely on the table this April. And we'll talk about, you know, that possibility and what the team could potentially add to the running back position as we continue today's Locked On Falcons. But before we get there, guys, I want to let you know that the Peacock and Williamson NFL show is going to be on the road next month as they travel to LA to cover the Super Week at SoFi and whatnot. So definitely check out the Peacock and Williamson NFL show, the flagship show here covering all the national storylines on the Locked On Podcast Network. And of course, those guys will have you covered all Super Bowl week long. And of course, they'll have you covered each and every day in the lead up to the Super Bowl. So check them out on your preferred podcast platform. So it's a new year, and that means New Year's resolutions. And if yours is about getting fit and eating healthier, then Built Bar is the thing to include in your plan. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar on the market. It tastes just like a candy bar, even better than a candy bar, because unlike candy bars, Built Bars are healthy. You know, they're low in sugar, low in calories, low in carbs, high in protein, high in fiber. You know, eating healthy can kind of be hard and it can get a little bit boring, but Built Bars make eating healthier fun and easier to stick to your resolution because it tastes good and you'll want to eat it. There's so many flavors to choose from. You got coconut almond, peanut butter brownie, cookies and cream. You got limited time flavors like coconut brownie chunk, eggnog if you're in the holiday spirit, caramel macchiato, churro puff is back. So go check out all the new flavors by heading over to built.com. Use the promo code LOCKED15 when you get there and you'll get 15% off your order. That's LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. So when we look at, you know, as I said earlier, I feel generally optimistic that Cordero Patterson is going to be back in 2022. You know, I can't say that with absolute confidence, but it does seem like both sides want to sort of have this situation work out in their favor. And generally speaking, when we look at, you know, the history of the Falcons, particularly in the Arthur Blank era, that, you know, when they want to keep guys and when guys want to be here, usually a deal gets done. You don't see too many protracted contract disputes or anything like that here in Atlanta. So I don't necessarily expect that to start now, even with a new regime sort of taking over. So today, you know, I feel comfortable saying, you know, I feel like there's like a 75% chance that Cordero Patterson is back in Atlanta in 2022. And then when you look at Mike Davis's situation, right now it feels like it's 50-50. It could go either way. It's a toss-up in terms of if he's going to come back, because I think a lot depends on what this team's offseason plans are. But I think, you know, those plans should and probably will include the team trying to get fresher, younger legs at the position, given that both Davis and Patterson are up there in age. And we've seen how much Arthur Smith wants to be committed to running the football and getting somebody in there, you know, that's 22, 23, whatever, that, you know, can be sort of more of that workhorse, particularly to build the offense around in the years to come, I think makes a ton of sense. You know, you could still see the Falcons dip their toes into free agency, but more than likely that player is going to come in the draft. And I think if they do decide to dip their toes into free agency, a lot of that will depend heavily on, you know, what happens with Patterson and or Davis in March. I think losing one or both certainly would increase the chances that the Falcons would go out in free agency and sign a stopgap. But I think you're probably only going to get sort of a stopgap, somebody on sort of a 1 year type of contract, because unlike last year's free agency, you're not looking at a who's who of great running backs that you're going to sit here and say, oh yeah, that guy can be our RB1 moving forward. You know, is maybe it basically like Leonard Fournette, you know, James Conner, you know, Ronald Jones, but none of these guys have been like true workhorses in the NFL. And I don't think the Falcons are going to, you know, go out there and sign any of these guys feeling like they're going to be the savior for their offense. So I feel like it's more likely that the Falcons will target a running back in the draft to sort of uplift this position. And we know that the Falcons passed on drafting a running back last year when we all thought, myself included, that running back was going to be a priority at some point, you know, somewhere in between rounds 2 and 4 in last year's draft. And the Falcons passed on the guy. And you wonder, you know, how much of that was related to their, you know, best player available draft strategy, and whether or not this year that's still a possibility again for them to pass on a running back, because, you know, that player at the given time where they would feel compelled to take that guy is not the best player available, and they might wind up passing on that guy again. But I do wonder a little bit, you know, whether that BPA strategy is something that they're going to really stick to, given, you know, that they do have some positions that I think they really do need to draft this year, including the running back position. And while I haven't necessarily done a deep dive on this upcoming draft, running back draft class, I've watched, you know, a game or two here or there for certain players. You know, it doesn't feel like last year's draft class, where that was particularly top heavy, where you had guys like Najee Harris and Javonte Williams and Travis Etienne as sort of the big three. But last year's class, I felt like after you got past those three guys and then maybe like two or three other guys, the drop off was pretty steep, and there wasn't a whole lot of talent, you know, sort of in that 3 to 4 round range. And I feel like this year's draft is potentially the opposite. Again, based off of my limited research that I've done, you don't necessarily have those top end guys at the top, but the talent that's going to be available in that round 2, round 3, round 4 range, to me, it looks like it's going to be a lot deeper. You're going to have potentially running backs that sort of fit the bill that we saw last summer, where it seemed like outside of Javian Hawkins, the only running backs that the Falcons are allowed to have on the roster are guys that are like 220 plus. And there seems like there's a bunch of those guys available in this draft. You know, one guy that I'm keeping my eye on is Alabama's Brian Robinson. Again, haven't done a deep dive on him, but just watching Alabama, you know, play on Saturdays, you know, throughout the fall and winter, you know, he seems to sort of fit that description. You know, Georgia fans, I know you guys have your eyes on guys like James Cook and Zamir White and whatnot. So certainly those guys, again, have been impressive when I've watched them on Saturdays, but haven't done a deep dive on those guys. But you also kind of wonder if the Falcons will get look for more of a change of pace back. And I guess this is more James Cook style, which is someone that can be a little bit more explosive and add a little bit more juice to the running back position. Because last year, the Falcons were one of the least explosive running teams in the league. If you looked at 10 plus yard runs, they were 24th in the league last year. If you looked at 15 plus yard runs, they were tied for last place. And when you look at 20 plus yard runs, they were in dead last year. So regardless of sort of what measuring stick you look at, 10, 15 or 20 plus yard runs, they were near the bottom of the league. And so therefore, you know, one does wonder, particularly in a world where one or both Patterson and Davis do not return, would the Falcons potentially entertain double dipping in this draft and getting more of a power running back and getting, you know, that speed guy that can be that 1-2 punch that they can build around in the future? Because again, I don't necessarily expect the Falcons to find their Derrick Henry that they can just kind of feed the ball, you know, 20 plus times a game and you know, set it and forget it, as, you know, some people might say, when it comes to that running back position. So we'll just kind of have to see if the Falcons can sort of find what they're looking for at that running back position. But I certainly think this draft class seems to have the depth that you're looking for, that the Falcons don't necessarily have to go get that guy in round 2. Like, it seemed like they needed to get, you know, they had to land Najee Harris or Javonte Williams at the top of round 2. And if they didn't, then, you know, that draft class led to them sort of passing on a bunch of guys, because none of those guys they really felt like was the best player available, or whatever the case may be. I don't think that's going to necessarily be this case this April, but we'll just sort of have to see what happens. Again, I think there's a lot of moving parts. A lot of it starts in March with what happens with Mike Davis and Cordero Patterson. But again, I feel pretty good that Patterson will be back in Atlanta. I think Davis, the fact that he can, you know, bring some ability as a pass protector, which, you know, is going to be important, means that he has value. So again, I think that pay cut strategy probably makes the most sense, but we'll just sort of see how that goes, guys. And that will do it for us on today's, you know, year in running back positional review. Obviously, we have plenty more positions to talk about. If you missed the quarterback review on Wednesday, you can go check that out. But we'll be back talking a little bit of tight ends and wide receivers and offensive line next week. And oh, yes, if you're wondering, yes, locked on fullbacks. You know, Keith Smith did a really solid job this year. It seems like Keith Smith gets better and better each and every year. So we can't leave out here by leaving the fullback conversation out of there. But yeah, Keith Smith did solid. It goes without saying, like, you know, he's the most reliable of everybody at this position group. I have the most confidence in Keith Smith going into 2022 based off of this position group. So, you know, I know a couple of you guys are like, what, he's not going to talk about the fullback position. But yeah, Keith Smith did a really solid job this year. So that's going to do it for us here on our year end positional review. Lockdown fullbacks and lockdown running backs. And we'll be back with more of that content next week. And of course, you guys can check out more content on your second listen of the day after Lockdown Falcons being your first listen. I always have recommendations for that. You can check out any of the local shows like Lockdown Hawks, Lockdown Braves, Lockdown Bulldogs. And of course, you should check out the Lockdown Bets podcast, especially since Lee Sterling is letting you know, which of these, you know, bets and parlays that you can take advantage of heading into this divisional round playoff weekend. So go check out the Lockdown Bets, just like Lockdown Hawks, Lockdown Braves, and Lockdown Bulldogs, all available on the same podcast platforms that you're currently either listening or watching Lockdown Falcons. So guys, that will do it. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend. Enjoy. Until then.